The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The comedian Garrod Farrelly is with me now. He is on tour, Garrod Rage. His show is going around the country and plenty of dates coming up. I'm going to tell you all about that in a few minutes' time, all the details of where he's playing and where you can get the last few tickets. But before we get to that, Garrod, how are you?
Good, not too bad. It's lovely to be here.
Are you still dancing?
I haven't been able to dance because I had an operation the week after Dancing with the Stars. So I'm cleared for dancing this morning.
Okay.
Would you believe? Yes.
And are you going to go back dancing?
I am absolutely going back, go back dancing. Yeah, I loved every single second of it.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'm furious at myself that I'm saying this because it's such a cliche. Going into it, like, even going into it, I was like, I'm not doing Dancing with the Stars. Come on, this is, no. But God, I had the time of my life.
Was it immediate? As soon as you started doing it, you thought, this is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, within about an hour, I'd say, oh, this was...
What was it? What was it in the first hour?
I don't know what it was. The guy that I was dancing with, Stephen, was a brilliant teacher. And my assumption, because I'd done, you know, musicals as a kid and been that kid. You know, we've all seen that kid. Not great. We'll go on to do something very different.
Yeah. The chorus, girl. That's where you go. The chorus. No, that's a great job.
The
now.
Back of the chorus.
The back of the chorus.
The skin of my teeth. And yeah, I just assumed that that's what I would be. And I thought, I'm going to look really silly here, but I'll be out in week three. The first elimination, I was like, that will be my, you know, I only have to decide 3 weeks. It'll be a nice little message for, you know, gay kids or whatever. And then I just, he cracked the code. That's the one thing the pro dancers say, is that when they get a partner, they've got to crack the code, find out how they learn. And there's loads of different ways people learn. So that's their challenge.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you find, because the speed at which you have to learn quickens very, very quickly. Like you've got about 3 weeks at the first.
So some people are what, kind of intuitive and they'll follow the music. Other people are like mathematical and be like, what's the pattern here? And I just want to learn it one step, then this step, then this step. Is it?
Yeah, exactly. Some people learn it by rote. Some people learn it by movements. The way we worked together, quite interesting. He was like, you have to stay really close to me so I know what you're doing so I can react with you. So that was the first challenge because, you know, you're really up in somebody's space.
Yeah.
And I was very nervous about that. Now, that was the biggest thing for me to overcome. Because I was dancing with a straight guy, I'm gay, and my inclination was always, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is really weird. Yeah. I'm not sure I like this at all.
So there's an awkwardness.
There's an awkwardness for me, but and by right...
And did you get any sense of awkwardness from him, no?
He was, no.
Yeah.
It was funny, he even told me there recently, he was like, that the production company had put aside an hour for a chat about this to him, pitching it to him. And he was like, yeah, Grant, that's fine. Like, I dance with men all of the time. Like, because male choreographers, when they choreograph and they work with men, and it's just sexuality doesn't even come into it.
Yeah. But how important was it for you to be seen to be dancing with a man on it?
That was the only reason I did it.
Really?
Yeah, I'd said no to it twice before. Not my bag. I'm not a showman. And it was just, for some reason, I my agent sent me to have a meeting and I had a meeting with them. And it was just in that I was trying to like really say, I love the show because I'm an anorak. Like I watch it every single year.
Yeah.
And I just was trying to say, yeah, not for me. And obviously if I was going to do it, I'd want to dance with a man and, you know, just didn't think that was on the table at all. And they were like, well, we can absolutely do that this year. And then the whole thing changes. Then,
yeah.
You know.
And why was that important to you?
Because I think it's good to have that representation. I had been writing a lot about my childhood growing up gay. And I thought if I had seen that as a 15-year-old, the world would be a lot less scary a place. Mm. And I feel that young sons and their dads struggle to talk about this stuff. And I
still...
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not through any inarticulate piece involved in the relationship, but just more in the, we know what masculine is, we know what men are supposed to be, and there's still that thing of, I think, young, gay, queer kids maybe feeling that they don't measure up, you know? Mm. And also, the dad's not really knowing what to say, you know? It's not about acceptance, it's just about starting the conversation.
Yeah.
So I think I caught Stephen at like a weak moment because he had just had a baby, he had a 6-week-old son. So we had this conversation the first time we met and he was like, we will do this for the young kids, the young gay kids in Ireland, you know. And it was just, it was nice because we got lovely messages all the way through from people that had some sort of an effect.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it just made the whole thing worthwhile. It was fantastic.
You know, there's so many conversations being had at the moment about masculinity and
yeah.
what it means and negative role models of it that people are attracted to on the internet and all of that. And we were only talking about it on the show, actually, the other day in the context of a lack of male primary school teachers. You know, example isn't there for young lads. Is the young gay or queer experience often lost in that?
Yeah, because I don't think it necessarily relates to masculine or feminine at all.
Yeah.
That's kind of gone out with the dark ages. I think people are afraid to have honest conversations because we are, no matter what you are now, there is this template for it.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You'll find a template for it on Instagram. Even I find as a gay man, I'm like, well, this is what I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, wow, I mean, I don't measure up to that at all.
What's the algorithm telling you should be into?
I mean, I should be, you know, muscly and hanging out on the beach and...
Oh, really?
You know, and like healthy lifestyle and, all of these ideals that we're all supposed to live by and none of them exist. And it would all be a lot easier if we all just accepted that, you know?
Yeah.
I guess with... The other thing about Dancing with the Stars was I didn't fit that demographic. I mean, the first day it was announced, I was coming out of a shop on Grafton Street and a woman came up to me, burned on my memory, and she was like, I'm glad you're doing it now because you're ordinary. And I was like,
yeah.
I thought it was really special. But no, she made
your
point.
You're just so plain. Yeah, you just represent all the plain people of Ireland, girl.
She said, I'm really glad it's you. And they didn't feel that they had to pick somebody really... attractive. I was like, oh, come on. I was like, no, I get what you mean. Thank you.
Yeah, wow. Talk about a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it's going to be a long 3 months. Yeah.
Is that something that's really changed? Is people noticing you on the street?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's a demographic I'm not used to because in comedy, like, there's no such thing as celebrities in comedy. Like, there just isn't. People, they think they know you and they go, how are you? And keep going. Which is what I've had for years. And now it's little kids and older people that want, you know, so it's back to the old school autographs.
Oh, really?
Like, wow. Yeah, it's weird. Now, there's one woman that I've seen, I'd say, every second day since I moved to where I live. And she's never said hello to me. We've just never spoken, but we just see each other. And she walked by me just before Christmas and she just went, star. Like, well, we've brilliant. Got progress. Said a word.
Have you practiced your autograph? Go on, you have. Girl, admit it.
Somebody told me recently, actually, that if you're signing autographs, you should always have a signature you do for autographs and a signature you do for the bank.
That's actually very clever.
Yeah, I never realised that.
Wow. So everybody listening who's got an autograph off Garrod, get into your local Bank of Ireland branch. Empty the account while you can.
I mean, there's two transactions that will be done. So, yeah, be quick.
So listen, you're very busy at the moment because I mentioned the upcoming dates and I know you're going on tour with Joanne McNally. You've got the podcast, you've got the Substack and everything. Is that just a reflection of you and your personality or is there a sense, well, this is the gig now, you've got to kind of do everything?
I kind of like to be busy.
Yeah.
I was working for 15 years before I went full time at comedy, so I need to be 5 days a week at my desk. But we're living in a great time to be a comedian because we have control of everything.
Yeah.
And you know, when I started, it was you had to get on a TV show, and that TV show would last 6 episodes, and you could sell tickets while you're on the TV show. You know, so it made the whole industry very competitive and very. Bleak, to be honest.
Yeah.
But now you could just, you find your audience through podcasts and you find your audience through whatever it is and then you've full control over that.
Yeah.
And then when something comes along, it's not about what it will do for your career. It's like, do I want to do this? And for me, the answer is usually no.
Yeah. It's funny because Jared Regan was in not too long ago and he was talking a little bit about this, about, you know, he used to get on the panel shows, you know. And
oh, God.
And now he was doing tours now, or dates, certainly in the States more often, because he just realised from looking at his Instagram data, the feedback,
he's
like, oh, there's loads of people watching this in the States. And his agent said, put on a date and just see what happens.
Yes.
And he filled it.
Yeah. And
like, oh my God. And there was no way of knowing that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
There was no way of even reaching those people 15 years ago.
Yeah. And then there was so many, you know, there was so many layers that you had to get through of having somebody willing to take you on over there.
Yeah.
you know, all of that's gone now. It's just, do you want to do this? And this is the direct route to do it. Yeah, it's great. I mean, even in the past, I think, 5 years, like, or 9 years now that I've been full time, it's changed completely.
Does it mean, though, you're always kind of grafting, as opposed to maybe in the past you could, and maybe fewer comedians hit this point, but there was a certain point you could reach where you were kind of on the gravy train. I'm on the panel show circuit now.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll go exactly. From 8 out of 10 cats to QI to whatever, yeah, to never mind the Buzzcocks.
I don't know if the gravy train exists anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's a time that, those days are gone. I don't think there's household names anymore. It's so funny. One of my friends asked if I could get tickets for a comedian, Shane Gillis, who had sold out the Three Arena. And I was like, who the... What? I've never heard of this man.
Yeah.
How? Like, I'm in the industry and I've never heard of him. And then, it's just purely people selling stuff. You're not in people's faces the way you used to.
Yeah.
And the way that I find it really helpful, like when I started on the panel in, 2010, I remember there was an episode would go out and you would be rinsed on social media. Like, it was literally delete Twitter from your phone for 6 weeks. Something to help with it. Whereas now, you're not in the faces of people that don't want to see you. It's great.
I was listening to, I can't remember what podcast, was it The Rest is Entertainment? I don't know if you listen to that podcast, but they were talking about how the crowd work thing has changed. You have to do a bit of crowd work at the start because you can then put that up online and it's specific to the gig. You're not giving away any of the actual routine.
I'm so lucky by accident, and that is that I've been filming shows for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I've had a load of shows. Before I kind of took off, I'd written so many shows, so I've a lot of material. So I don't have to talk to the crowd.
Okay.
I talk to them.
You can flog
show,
the old stuff, basically. Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Just find a video out. Back in the back catalogue there, yeah.
So, yeah, when I start posting stuff and I look very young, and I'm like, if everyone could just please not comment, that'd be nice.
So, listen, we mentioned the gigs. When are they upcoming? So you've been in Longford recently, and then you're heading off with John McNally. You're in Dunleary in the Pavilion on the 19th of next month of June. Yes. And then Castlebarrack, Weedore, Dundrum, Howth, Tallaght, Balbriggan. If people want to find out more,
GareffAirlie.com. It's the end of this tour. It's been going since August. And these are just a few extra dates.
I'll
start at the Edinburgh Fringe then and with a new show in August.
Oh, great. Well, listen, if you can't make any of those dates, don't worry. In about 5 years, Garrod will be flogging this old material online as if it's new.
You're not missing anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, nothing's wasted.
Garrod, thanks a million for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.